Wilney and Tausch. Let's get right to your calls. 844-770-3776. Let's get to Sean in West Bend. Sean, good morning. Thanks for holding on. What do you got for us?
Hey, gentlemen. How's it going today?
It is going
doing all right.
Swimmingly. What do you got?
Okay, so I'm a Lions fan, but I've been listening to you guys for a very long time. Oh, man. And as a matter of fact, almost 9 years ago to the day, I called and complained about all of the missed calls leading up to Rodgers' Hail Mary. Mm. And now it's kind of nice for the shoe to be on the other foot.
I bet it is.
So look.
Anyway, have a great weekend, gentlemen.
Wow. All right.
No, I'm here.
So in essence, what he's saying is we're a bunch of whining babies like Detroit used to be. That's what he's saying.
Look, Sean, let me ask you this. And that was a great call and funny. And we love that and concise. But now I'm going to keep you for a second. Do the four of us on the panel currently, Sean plus the three of us, do any of us really think the Packers lost because of the officiating here?
Well, the PI was a big call, but again,
I'm not saying that.
Yeah, so
here, Twitter. It's
right,
out there.
Yeah, and I look.
Oh,
I get
out there.
That's a place.
What about Blue Sky? What are they saying there?
Yeah, love Jason's Blue Sky. A Blue Sky guy. Yeah,
lots of kittens on there. I love it.
Yeah, it's really just a cute little cuddly place over there. I'm sure
it is. It's all kumbaya. But here's the point that I think Tausch made earlier, and it kind of got swept under with all the energy that he came in with. Do any of us believe that if they don't call the pass interference and the Josh Jacobs touchdown stands and the Packers take the lead again, that the Packers defense is going to get the stop? I believe that the Lions just go down and score a touchdown instead of kick the game-winning field goal, and they still lose. And
yeah,
I think you agree with
me. That way. Trending that way for sure, yeah.
So, all right, Sean, I am curious, how do your friends treat you as a Lions fan in West Bend?
A lot of pity leading up to the last 2.5 years.
And now they don't like you.
But now I think, no, they're all happy. I mean, I suffered too.
Do you try
lot.
To take their knees out at the water cooler at work?
Well, I'd rather do their knees than their head because I don't want to concuss anybody.
Sure, that's right.
The NFL, that's
you
the NFL's
Kirby.
Problem. That's not a
that's
Kirby
what the
Joseph
NFL's
problem.
Pushing.
Are the Packers the Lions' biggest rival?
I don't know if the Lions have a rival. They've been irrelevant for so long. But I would think so. Maybe.
You're right. No,
yeah,
you're
the
right.
Answer's I yes right now. I would think definitely.
All right, Sean, we appreciate the call. Thanks, buddy. Look, I understand the push and pull here, right? Because as a lover of a good story, a team that has never been to the Super Bowl, they are a really good story. And they got a colorful coach, and they got really good players, and they got a really smart offensive coordinator. But I still, that Kirby Joseph thing yesterday and watching that play in slow motion, that's some, that makes me queasy. And I don't like it when people look like they're trying to hurt people. I understand that that's sometimes part of the game. But man, oh man, I got a problem with that. All right, let's keep going with the calls. 844-770-3776. 844-770-3776. We've had our first Lions fan. Let's see if there's any more lurking on the talk and text line. Let's go to Tim in Germantown. Tim, good morning. What do you got for us here on Wilde and Tausch?
Good morning. I got a lot here, so bear with me, okay? Last night you saw the future of football in the NFL, and it is the Detroit Lions. What I'm going to tell you is this, okay? The Packers are playing all night with 2 downs, and Detroit was playing with 4 downs. So it must be engraved in stone up there or something by Ted Thompson and McCarthy that you cannot throw on first down. What was Detroit doing all last night? Throwing on first down, catching them off guard. And so the Packers already lose a down. Now it's second and long, third and long. So they got 2 downs. Detroit was playing with 4 downs. 4 out of 5 times they went for it on fourth down, and they got it. And they won. And I'll tell you what, they are fun to watch. If you were not a Packer fan, that was an entertaining game to watch, and you love what he did. And he's got enough chutzpah that he's not worried about losing his job. And evidently, LaFleur is. I don't know. But, you know, It's just that's how it is. And you know, you can complain about the officiating, everything else. You better hope that San Francisco or somebody gets their act together and faces them in the first round in Philadelphia's number one, because somebody's going to knock them off, because it ain't going to be the Packers.
Yeah, I don't know if I agree with
that. I get your point. Mm-hmm. I don't. But your main point, thanks for the call, your main point on four downs.
Yes.
For as much as we critiqued all of that and going ahead and getting it, and again, I just want to make sure people understand. I know most fans do. He wasn't doing that to get their kicker four more yards. He's doing it so that the Green Bay Packers never
did
got
not
the ball
get
back.
The ball back. Correct.
Okay, I just want to make sure because I saw enough on Twitter
by the
last
way,
night.
It was a 39-yard field goal if he kicks it right there. It's not like he went from a 52-yarder to a 35-yarder.
I want to make sure that is it was the mindset and I'm not giving you the blanking ball back. I'm going to have our offense dictate what happens the end of this game.
Yep.
The question is, did Matt LaFleur, and I'm always on Matt LaFleur for not sticking with the run game, the touchdown drive, 10 runs out of 12 plays early in the first half. That was the only touchdown drive, right? So did we get a little conservative and run the football? The Packers put three, you know, they had, I think at some point, a five-down line on first down. And what Ben Johnson did was like, well, no, we're not going to run into a brick wall. We'll fake it and we'll pick up 6 yards. We'll take Charlie check down and we're going to continue. And I said this yesterday, they knew they needed to be second and six or second and two. They weren't going to live second and 10. When Green Bay got them in third and eight, third and nine, that was their only time they were able to get off the field. So this concept of getting to fourth down, I do think it has trended that way in a much bigger way along the whole league. Doesn't mean every fourth down is the same.
Agreed.
But fourth and two and fourth and three down in the red zone, that when you're down in the goal line, I think you have to look seriously a lot more, especially you're not playing the Houston Texans or someone that you feel like you're suffocating on defense. You're playing Detroit. You knew you're going to have a hard time stopping them.
Yeah.
You have to be aggressive. And when you're in a fourth and two from the 50, go for it. I think Matt LaFleur could be a little bit more aggressive. And I think Dan Campbell could be a lot less aggressive. There's a fine line. And I think the league is trending more towards Dan Campbell. Matt LaFleur last night, Dan Campbell knew scoring 20 points wasn't going to do it. Kicking field goals wasn't going to do it. And he didn't. And that's a big reason why they won that game last night.
Let's get to one more call before the break. Let's go to Brian in St. Paul, Minnesota. Brian, good morning. Welcome to Rule of the Tausch, buddy. How are you?
Good morning. And I would just piggyback Tausch by saying I thought, while Campbell's always aggressive, he was extra aggressive last night because he knew his defense was in big trouble.
Yep.
And they just couldn't hold on.
Right.
Yep. And that's my frustration with LaFleur, is that I don't know how or what I need to say or what people need to see to know that you can never trust this defense. So, like, if you ever coach like, oh, yeah, well, we're going to punt here because our defense will stop, you can never trust them to stop anybody. Like, and if they stop someone three times in a row and they kick the ball to the other team, I'll still think they're going to score. And what pains me is that, Jason, actually, you made me mad earlier when you said, you know, Jeff Hafley just doesn't want to bring five people. Well, I thought that's why we hired him, that he did want to do that, that he did want to be aggressive. I mean, if not, to me, this looks like Joe Barry coaching the
defense. All right, so let me interrupt you for a second, and then you can finish, okay? So when I say that he wants to be aggressive, I think that is more the play style and the idea that instead of, for example, your defensive lineman being responsible for two gaps and standing there and dancing with the offensive lineman to figure out which gap they need to cover, they want to get them up the field, right? They want guys, instead of staying in this umbrella constantly, they want guys attacking the ball once it's caught underneath or whatever it might be. But he is not a believer in blitzing. So I'm sorry I made you mad, but it's really Jeff Hafley that you should be mad at, because that is not his philosophy. My point is that if you guys are not capable of getting home with four, and I mean getting home with four, whether it's your front four or if it's your simulated pressures where you bring three of the four, but then you bring some random guy as the fourth from corner or linebacker or whatever. If that's not enough, then you got to start blitzing because you don't have much choice because you can't keep letting teams pick you apart because your front four can't get it done for you. That's all. Fair?
Fair, and that's why Halfley was my biggest negative because it was very clear early that their plan was to keep the ball on offense. So I was begging him to blitz and make him make dig off until the last possession when he hit Jameson Williams on that about 18 or 20 yard out on the sideline. Did he complete one pass longer than 10 yards outside the numbers?
It was
drop back 5 yards over the middle, drop back 5 yards over the middle. So clearly he doesn't trust his corners, which leads to maybe this team can't win unless Jair plays, which maybe one of these years he'll grace us with his presence. But so to count on that doesn't have me optimistic. But to me, it was pretty obvious early in the second quarter in that you have to bring your corners up and actually, you know what, have some faith in them and dare Jared Goff to throw something deep. And the other part of that is Xavier McKinney is irrelevant if he's just going to have to stand back 25 yards and, you know, just protect big plays. Because if he's doing that last night and they're throwing the ball for 7 yards, then you're taking him out of the game, and he's their only above-average defensive player on the field last night is Xavier McKinney.
Yeah.
So I was so irritated that they were not. I don't blame the pass rush because Goff got the ball out of his hand.
He did.
It seemed like 2 seconds every play, and it was 5 yards over the middle, 5 yards over the middle. And then everything was in the middle of the field between the hashes within 10 to 15 yards of the line of scrimmage, and I just couldn't understand why there was no adjustment to, like, bring everybody up. And if he beats you deep once, fine, but he threw one deep ball in the first half, and it wasn't even close to being completed.
Yeah,
and I just thought that this was supposed to be this aggressive defensive coordinator, and that Joe Barry had to go because he never blitzed, and it was, you know, it was death by paper cut down the field, hoping the offense makes a mistake. And I just felt like if you would have put Joe Barry in the booth last night, I would have watched the same game, just with a 3-4 instead of a 4-3. It was so frustrating. Jeff Halfley, you know, blitz somebody and make him beat you deep for once instead of watching Laporta and Patrick and Amon-Ra catch 10-yard completions. And I haven't even talked about the screen passes yet, which we might defend those next year maybe, but whatever. But that was my frustration with Halfley. I just thought he stunk last night too.
Yeah, all fair points, Brian. Thanks for the call. Now, Tausch, I would say this. You know, again, I do think it's worth admitting that that's a really good freaking offense, right? And the Packers didn't defend the screen very well, but guess what? They run it better than anybody because they run it so darn often, first of all. But they get yards out of their screen game all the time. That is one of the strengths of their offense. But what I agree with Brian on is they are not going to try and hit you on big plays. You look at their and what's interesting is that they're not vastly different in their philosophy than Miami is, right? Miami, they don't throw deep balls either. They get the ball quickly out of to his hand to Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle and Jonnu Smith, and then they do the rest because they got such good team speed. But it's a lot easier to make it difficult on an offense like that when it's snowing at Lambeau as opposed to when you're playing in Ford Field.
It is. I think there needs to be more of a attack style, and if that means more man-to-man, if that means more blitz, I know what we saw last night ain't going to work. That we know. So, and if we're going to sit here and it's January 25th or whatever, if and when the Packers meet this team again, if they beat us running the football and have 250 yards rushing, we are going to crush Jeff Halfley. If what we saw last night, you're going to say, why didn't we do this? Well, you have to stop their run game. Mm-hmm. If you don't stop their run game, they will wear your blank out all day, every day. I don't want to have a team, and when Vonnie joined us last night, he said, there's nothing more demoralizing to a defense than a 4-minute drill, and they pound the ball down our throat, and we know it's coming.
Right.
The Packers didn't let that happen last night. But they have to figure out ways to cover the middle of the field in a better way than what they did last night, because that's where they ate all their lunches and then the screens. And you just have to figure something different out, because that formula last night wasn't going to work with how they allowed Jared Goff to be so comfortable.
All right, I want to get some more calls. Let me ask you this quickly, though, because we're talking about how much more aggressive Dan Campbell is, and he goes for it on fourth. And I thought the call earlier about how they're playing with four downs, there's risk involved with doing that, but he's right. Matt LaFleur, the opening, the Packers' opening drive, when Love gets sacked on the first play, they eventually get to midfield. It's fourth and six at the 49. Should they have gone there?
Yes.
Okay. I mean, you are at least at midfield, but that's, again, that's giving a dynamic offense a short field, and instead you punted. Detroit's on the 8-yard line. They go three and out, and you get the ball back at the 48, right? So what, yeah. I guess what I'm saying is that, you know, sometimes punting actually is the right call, and in that instance, you got the ball back in the exact same spot where you gave it up when you punted.
Yeah, I get it. And yes, I just think with the flow of the game, and you knew possessions, you got out time of possess because they converted four out of five fourth downs. And you need to have as many bites at the apple as you can. And one of the things we haven't even gotten to yet is, where's Jaden Reed? Part of it is we're just not getting any plays. The Bears game, we didn't get any plays. Last night, what did we end up with, 50 plays?
I don't 43. Know what the exact
43 blank in plays? You want all these, you got all these weapons, you got to use them, you got to get the ball, you have to possess it. So, yes, you punt and you get it back and all that. You knew last night what the game was going to look like. I did, you did, Matt LaFleur did. Everybody understood what the task was. Maybe in other games, you're playing the Bears or some teams that offenses aren't as good, you play it that way. If it's fourth and four, fourth and five from midfield, I don't mind going for it. I think you feel confident in your offense that you have plays dialed up. I want to see more aggressiveness when you know you need to have it. It's not about this is what we do. It's about what do we need to do to win this game. Mm-hmm. And last night, we needed to possess the ball more and not let Detroit wear us down. Well, that's not what happened last night.
I'm sorry, 45 plays. That was 43 against the Bears, 45 against the Lions. But either way you slice it, it's too few plays. It's not enough.
Yep.
And then Jordan Love's throwing 20 passes, and he's completing 12. And
so, Jason, when you get to – is LaFleur got a presser today, or are you doing something next week?
Much to my irritation, there is no availability again until Monday.
Okay. So write this down. The lack of plays that they're getting, Matt LaFleur, does that change your mindset at all on any of these fourth downs when you see what the Lions did? You have to start figuring, and I know he's going to give you the canned answer. We got to be better on first and second down so that we can blah, 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 blah. Bottom line is you have to find a way to get more plays. You can't keep living mid-40s. You're asking a lot of your defense anyways. Then you're asking them to play 70, 75 snaps in time of possession. That stuff matters. Would we have gotten a stop if Detroit had 5 minutes less of possession and our defense was resting more? These are all things you don't know the answer to, but I think we know the answer to it.
Mm-hmm. Well, all I can tell you is Jordan Love only completed 12 passes on the night, and four of them went complete to Dontavion Wicks, your Steinhoffel Sleeper of the Week winner. And you'll be a winner during the Steinhoffel's Cyber Week sale going on right now. Get some of the biggest savings of the season. Save up to $300 on a sofa, $450 on dining tables, $600 on recliners, $800 on queen beds, and up to $1,000 on adjustable base beds. Plus, with Steinhoffel's 60-month financing, your new room just got a lot more affordable. Hurry in the sale and Sunday, both in-store and online at steinhoffels.com. More of your calls next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
calls, 844-770-3776. I know there's a bunch of you on hold. I see some new names as well in the rundown. We are getting to you as quickly as we can. Let's go north of the border. I hear there's talk of adding it as the 51st state by some in the political realm. That means Ricardo would be all ours then. It is Ricardo in Canada. Ricardo, good morning. How you doing today?
Good morning, guys. Good morning. Not going to lie, little frustrated. Yesterday was definitely a frustrating game. So I'm just going to point out a few things, okay?
Yeah.
First things first. Oh, man, we need to get better set up for these big-time games. And it starts with the coach, the maturity level. We let our emotions ride us for the first half. Mm-hmm. And it started with Matt LaFleur. What is that nonsense with that fan before the game? You're bigger than that, bro. You make millions of dollars. This some guy who's ever, you know, he wanted his 2 minutes of fame. Let that go. You know what I mean? Just let that go. Mm-hmm. The officiating, god awful, all game. And don't give me this, it went both ways. We had maybe one or two. It was bad. Even on the last play with the Jared Goff, if you guys watch it, his knee was down before he hands off the ball. I don't know why they didn't call it dead or review that, because his knee was definitely down before he handed off the ball. Look at the replays. Trust me, we got the Canadian version up here. We can see it clearly. And second of all, everyone can talk about the defense. I get it. The defense is what it is. It's been like this forever. We will always win and lose by our offense. We are an offensive team. We'll always be an offensive team. If our offense doesn't show up for the first two quarters, we have no chance in hell of winning the game, of winning a championship, of winning any game at all. I don't care who's the opponent. The offense cannot start off a big game like this in neutral like that. It cannot happen. I don't care if it's the coach. I don't care if it's the players. They need to figure it out. We need to start big games like this on the front foot. We are not a team that can just, you know, play the last quarter or two. It is what it is. And by the way, this whole Dan Campbell, oh, he's so brave and tough. No, he's reckless, okay? Don't give me that. It's because of this stuff that he didn't go to the Super Bowl last year. Everyone forgot about that. Congratulations. You won a game in the regular season. Do it again in the playoffs, and it's not going to happen, and they're going to kick out again. And again, they're going to support him? No, they're going to be like, that was a bad call. So you live by the sword, you die by the sword. I'm happy with Matt LaFleur. I'm not too worried about his decision-making in that aspect. I think Dan Campbell was a little reckless. And you know what? Let's just, you know, it is what it is. Let's just get through the weekend. Let's go to Seattle. Let's get a win in the column, and let's start building up towards the playoffs. We'll play them again, and we'll beat them again. Don't worry.
What gives you that confidence that they will play them again and beat them? That's my question that
because
I
ask. Because we scored 31 points in two quarters. We scored 32 points, 31 points in two quarters. The first half was god awful. Like, I mean, bad. Like, we look like a high school team that didn't know how to tie their own shoelaces. Be honest. And guess what? And we still had that. And we still made that cut. We came back in the second half. They got their emotions under check. You can tell they looked different. Even Jordan Love looked different. Everybody looked. They're like, okay, let's settle down. Let's get this play rolling. That's what gives me the confidence. And you know what? And I think if they get their emotion in check, they will be fine. And then, unfortunately, you know, they also have the bad habit of, we lost every safety in the game except for Xavier. We started playing a special team player as a safety. Like, that was just a hard luck. But, you know,
it's a hell of a play.
Zane Anderson is a safety, for the record.
Yeah, he
doesn't
great
play very often, but.
Yeah, and I play soccer, too, in a men's house league. You don't want me playing for the Canadian national team. Like, come on.
That's a bold comparison.
Hey,
that's a very bold comparison.
Let us know if you get the opportunity with the Canadian national team, though.
Ricardo, if you play on the Canadian national team, even if you're not the 51st state, we're coming up to watch.
I appreciate that. I'll give you guys free tickets, I promise. I'll use my connections.
We appreciate you, buddy. Thanks.
I'll eat chicken tenders from Quick Trip if Ricardo plays for the Canadian national team.
Good one, Jesse. Tenders. Good one.
I forgot to get my Glazers on the way in today because the Packers lost. Yeah,
sorry. Still got a few of those canisters, too, for your Glazers, I noticed in my last stop. 844-770-3776. Let's get to another call here, then we'll get to more as we roll on after this. Let's go to Dave in Atlanta. Dave, good morning. Welcome to Wildy and Tausch.
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks so much. My positive was Jordan Love. I mean, the guy is calm. He doesn't get rattled. It's like he's sitting waiting for his coffee at Starbucks the whole game. He's just – and the news conference after, that's a very valuable commodity. And that's not what Goff used to be in with the Rams. He was a scaredy cat. The only biggest thing Dan Campbell gave that team was instilling confidence in Goff.
Totally.
He made Goff a lot.
Agree with that.
Just from the neck up, right? Mm-hmm. But Dan Campbell, I'm really getting tired. You guys aren't doing it, but everybody else is. He's such a genius, you know. He is, your last caller was right. Guy's reckless. If it works, it's all look at the guts. If it fails, oh, it's stupid, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, to me, he reminds me of the big, dumb high school maybe linebacker who's roided up and aggressive. And, you know, Matt LaFleur should be the high school newspaper editor who can outthink him.
That's why Wildy likes him so much.
You let him. Yeah. So if you just – when they get aggressive with their rush, screens. Did we run any screens? I'm not sure we did. Right.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I just think that, and the other thing is with the offensive line that Tosh talked about. So Darius Smith was on a revenge trip, right?
Yeah.
Nobody's really giving him the credit for being the psycho he is at the right time or the destructive force that he is with his last 19 teams. But, you know, I just don't think that Campbell's game strategy is smart. And I agree with Tosh. Now, you know, you go to their place, you lose by a field goal at the gun. How bad was it? I mean, yeah, we have some things that are a problem. Yes, the rush sucks, and Halfley should blitz more. But my final point is this. The other thing I wish other people would stop is, oh, we didn't have Jair. What did Amon St. Brown do yesterday? Two catches? Three, maybe? It's like there was no big deep threat. There was no big Amon St. Brown going nuts. We had enough to cover, and yes, you're right. We should have brought down Xavier into the middle to stop this middle stuff. It's been going on all year. That's how you attack the Packers. The middle's always open. Bring Xavier McDaniel down, or bring him down, and that will help to stop that. But anyway, my positive is Jordan Love. The guy's great. Take him in, like Tau says, 100 out of 100.
Yeah, great call, mm-hmm. Dave. We appreciate you. The jump cut throw to Watson was phenomenal. Like, when I saw him make that throw, it went through my brain. Remember when I used to say we didn't see enough wow throws from him? Now we see him all the time, and that was a big-time wow throw. To Dave's point, Amon-Ra St. Brown, 6 targets, 5 catches for 43 yards. Their pass distribution... Tim Patrick had 6 catches for 43 yards and 2 touchdowns. Gibbs, 6 for 30. Williams had 5 for 80. He was like their one kind of big play guy. He averaged 16 yards a catch with a long of 28. But otherwise, Tausch, again, it's not like they're beating you over the top. So to the point about moving McKinney up and having him more involved, I have a hard time pushing back on that. I think it's a fair critique.
Yeah, and it's the play action pass. You know what they want to do. It's your job to not let them do it. But the tough part of that is because it's easy to sit here and critique Jeff Halfley, Joe Barry. It doesn't matter. It's really tough when you have a really good run team and you're very concerned about that. You have to stop something. And I get last year, remember, or a couple years ago, Validation Thursday. I always go back to this. Where Tannehill goes for 4 Bills. I'm going to let Tannehill beat me. I'm not letting Derrick Henry run for 200. Now, the easy thing to say is, well, can't we be better?
Sure.
And that's a fair point.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to take away something. Detroit understood it. That's why they threw on first and second down, did the play action, and we didn't have any answers for it. That's the thing we have to figure out. We have to figure out ways to be more disruptive than what we were last night.
We did our prize picks for the weekend yesterday. I think I told you less on Jordan Love and old boy here told you more. Jesse, which did you end up playing?
Well, because our pregame show went an hour and 15 minutes on the Wisconsin Badgers Volleyball Radio Network, I was unable to get my prize picks in before the game started.
So they saved you money is what you're saying.
Perhaps. I felt like I would have been right on a few of my selections had I got them in time last night.
Tausch, how was your night?
I didn't have a great night. I went more with Jordan Love. That didn't work. I went less with Jared Goff. That didn't work. So not a great night, but it's still a ton of fun with Prize Picks. Over 10 million members, billions of dollars in awarded winnings. It's made daily fantasy sports accessible to everybody. And it is simple. Pick more or less. I went more. I went less. I lost both. Lost it all. But you know what? It was still fun. Prize Picks will keep your lineup live. They put their members first. So when you do win, all your withdrawals are fast, safe, and secure. When your picks hit, you get your money right about 15 minutes. Now you can win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. And it's Merry Picksmas. Every day, something new pops up. You don't know what it's going to be. You get different discounts. You get different things on these projections. Download the app today. Use that code WI, and you get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. Again, that's code WI. To get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks.
Run your game. More of your calls next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
Some more of your calls in a second, 844-770-3776. Dave in St. Pete, you are on deck. Want to remind you, though, that it's time again. Our favorite, it's the most wonderful time of the year. Time for the ESPN Wisconsin Racine Danish Kringle Jingle for your Kringle contest here on Wildy and Tausch. All you have to do is submit your own original jingle to celebrate the holidays and Racine Danish Kringle to ESPNWisconsinContest.com. Then we'll take the most creative songs, and our grand prize winner gets Kringle for a year. The only requirement, make sure you include Racine Danish Kringle. It's not just a treat, it's a tradition in your jingle. And if you don't want to sing, but you still want to celebrate the holidays with Racine Danish Kringle, call 800-4-DANISH or visit Kringle.com and order their all-new eggnog holiday Kringle. Let's get back to the calls. Jesse, what's with the Brewers shirt today?
I just like the Brewers, and I think I look good in this shirt. And because I lost my weight thanks to Madison Weight Loss, I fit back in it now.
Oh, okay.
Huh? All right.
Let's go to the phones. You do look great. I'm not.
Oh, thanks, Jason.
I'm not denying that. Just interesting.
Hey, well, I got my mic on. Can I say something? I don't know what I'm going to say this nugget otherwise today. The Packers are 0-4 in exclusive streaming games all time.
Peacock for sale.
They lost on Peacock to start the year, and they are 0-3 on Amazon Prime against the Titans and the Lions twice.
Bezos. Jeez, you blame the refs and blame Bezos. By the way, I love Al Michaels, man. I love him. He is one of the greats. The greatest call of all time. 1980 Lake Placid.
Uh-oh.
It's time. It is time.
Oh, jeez.
Well, it is.
All right.
Dude, that was a great game last night. Can we all agree? Excitement. Oh, everything the NFL
game.
Wants.
Yeah.
Zane Anderson goes in. Zane Anderson, nice job making a tackle on third down. Good effort on that. Like, come on now. Let's get a little enthusiasm.
He's letting the crowd tell the story.
No, that's not what happened. Come on. We got to be honest with ourselves, people. Right? Or you guys are thinking Al Michaels has still got his fastball.
No. You know who does have their fastball? Greg on Twitter.
Yeah, he's good.
Just sent potatoes for sale. Potatoes for sale. The new children's book available at Quick Trip. Tausch up in the tree with the guy's hair and with a
Greg's
big bag of russet potatoes.
I think Greg might be playing himself in that Hall of Fame talk.
He certainly will be doing the program for it. Let's get some more calls. It's so good. It is so good. Better than the Gutenator. That's how good this one is.
He's good.
Very, he's good. Very impressive. All right, let's get some more of your calls. 844-770-3776. Dave in St. Pete, thanks for holding on, buddy. What do you got for us?
All right, so I wanted to give you some stats here. So the Lions, in two games with the Packers this year, are 6-for-8 on fourth down conversions, and they scored 4 of their 6 offensive touchdowns against the Packers on fourth downs. So in the first game, they had 2 touchdowns. They were 2 out of 3. In the second game, they were 4 out of 5 and had 2 touchdowns and ended the game, ran the clock out on fourth down. And the fact of the matter is that Campbell and his team is better at situational football than the Packers are, and it's a calculated risk against a team that's not good at situational football. The team has been bad about with situational football for over a decade, and it's the reason why Aaron Rodgers only has 1 ring.
I think there's a fair criticism of my guy Big Mike on some of that stuff for sure. Let me ask you something, Dave.
Very frustrating.
Not for your Social Security number or annual income, but do you work in numbers? Because I'm intrigued by how you are making your argument, because it's pretty convincing. And again, my point was, you know, I don't know how many fourth down opportunities the Packers necessarily had to go for it, but combining your call with an earlier call about how basically the Packers are playing with 2 downs and the Lions are always playing with 4 downs, I don't have a whole lot of pushback for you on that.
Well, in interest of full disclosure, I am a lawyer, so I don't know if that weighs in at all.
Oh, you make snap. A convincing argument. He's making an argument. Well done.
What's your best lawyer joke that's available for air?
Just make sure it doesn't have any...
I think all of them cast me in a negative light, so I'm going to refrain from making it.
Just like Tausch should refrain from a phrase that he used earlier in the show. All right, I'm sorry to interrupt, Dave. What else you got?
But I was just going to tell Tausch I'm going to send him a bill for 0.1 hours for that.
Yeah, good. Nice. Thanks for the call. We appreciate you. Look... Tausch, this is obviously a pretty strong theme here, right? Is this situational football, going for it on fourth down, some of the decisions that are made. I think it's a fair critique, but I also am looking at the play-by-play from last night, and I don't see a whole lot of situations where Matt LaFleur was presented with a, do I do this or do I do that? Now, if you want to critique his play calling, he has to do that for himself as well, but I don't know if there were necessarily instances where he had to make those type of calls. And maybe, and this would be my question for you, maybe this is where you trace it back to some of the play calling, because you're not in, you know, fourth and twos. The decision you make on 3rd and 8 isn't what Dan Campbell and Ben Johnson choose to do, which is a lot of times, right, run it to get like 4 or 5, so you're in 4th and 3. And then you feel more comfortable about going for it. How do you view Matt LaFleur? We've talked a lot about Dan Campbell. How do you view Matt LaFleur in this realm?
I think Matt LaFleur is by nature aggressive. So he's not aggressive like Dan Campbell, and some would say reckless. I tend to lean on the reckless side of it, especially the end of the game scenario. But for Matt LaFleur, I do think Dan Campbell and Ben Johnson, there was one, it was 3rd and 5, and they ran a run play, and it got stopped for 1 yard, and they punted. That's a case where they are planning on going for it. They think they're going to get 3 or 4, maybe bust it.
Right.
Matt LaFleur and Jordan Love, they don't think it, but Jordan Love is a better quarterback than Jared Goff. They trust him to make a play on 3rd and 8. I think the Lions look at it more like, I feel good about being 4th and 2 better than being aggressive on 3rd and 8. Everybody's got to figure out what that formula is for them. And I think the Packers are looking at it more of a 3-down operation.
Mm-hmm.
And Detroit looks at it as 4 downs. It's a heck of a lot easier to get 10 yards on 4 downs than on 3rd. Now, is it always going to work? It backfired, and Green Bay got a 30-yard field and scored a touchdown to take the lead.
Right.
Most teams, that would be a gut punch. Detroit's used to it. They say, okay, yep, all right, let's get back. And that Herb Street said, all right, now how do you respond? Well, how do they respond? They're going to take the lead. You got to know your football team. And I think Matt LaFleur, right now, does he trust that we're going to get a 4th and 2, that we have enough plays, that we're going to get that? Obviously, he doesn't, or he would be just as aggressive as what Dan Campbell is.
All right, we'll get to Terry in San Diego, Ace in Mount Horeb, Kamal in Madison, and Chris in Dayton, Ohio, coming up next after Tausch tells us about AmFam and what they've got going on right now.
They do. Badger fans, big tussle tomorrow down at Fiserv versus Marquette. Everybody's excited about that one next year. They'll be back up at the Kohl Center, and American Family Insurance wants to give you and a friend a VIP experience at a basketball game during the next season. You and a friend, pre-game sideline or courtside passes, probably courtside if it's hoops, a tour of the facility, tons of great merch to support your Badgers. Enter today at amfam.com/badgers. No purchase is necessary. Dream fearlessly. Insure carefully.
More calls next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com.
Let's get some more calls. 844-770-3776. We will have time for calls in the 11 o'clock hour, too. And just FYI, Tausch has some hockey commitments, so he will be departing around 11:15. So let's get to as many calls as we can, but we'll still have room for you and even more room because you'll get to talk more in the 11 o'clock hour. Let's go to Terry in San Diego. Terry, good morning. Thanks for holding on so long. What do you got?
Morning, guys. My positive is just Josh Jacobs being so solid and dependable every week. I feel like we're back in almost the Amon Green era where we can count on a running back. I loved Aaron Jones, but he was far more up and down. But negative, I got to say, I think the discussion about the defense and Jeff Hafley is one that might be missing the forest for the trees. The Packers scored 29 points against the Eagles and lost. They scored 29 points against Minnesota and lost. They scored 31 points against Detroit and lost last night. This has been the Packers' MO, not just this year, but really since about 2011. I mean, this is who the Packers are in defense. We always hear, oh, it is what it is. Last night, I watched a Packers defense that featured six first-round picks out on the field get outperformed by a Lions defense that featured a bunch of guys who were on other teams' practice squads earlier in the week.
Well,
76 plays for Detroit to 45 for Green Bay. Under 300 yards for Green Bay, 391 yards for Detroit. I'd like to mention that the 2023 15th overall pick, Will McDonald, has 10 sacks on the season, while the 13th overall pick has three. I contend that if he was not a first-round pick by the current GM, Eric Stokes would likely not be on the roster, and he certainly shouldn't be getting snaps at this point. And I'd like to ask both of you this question. Is there a more overpaid edge in the NFL than Rashawn Gary and his 5.5 sacks? And, yeah, he was going up against the backup left tackle in Dan Skipper much of the night last night. I didn't really see much of him. And I also like to know whether there's a more overpaid cornerback in the NFL than Jair Alexander, who has missed roughly half of all games played over the last four seasons. But I'd really like to know why, after 7 years as our GM, Brian Gutekunst is not held more accountable for all the personnel failures on the defensive side of the ball, the kind of failures that led nearly every Packer fan across the country to fully expect that the defense was going to give up that game-winning drive last night. It's gotten old. I'm tired of hearing it is what it is. I'm watching Brian Flores do more with less in Minnesota. I'm also taking note that our best defensive player by a mile is someone who was not drafted in Green Bay. I think we need to really come to terms with the fact the Packer organization doesn't know how to concoct a roster or that can get the defensive roster. Offense, they're good. But that defense, it's not a Super Bowl winning defense. And if you look at it, we're actually at 21.1 points on the year. Last year with Joe Barry, we're at 21.4. You can't keep blaming the defensive coordinators. At some point, it must be at least somewhat accountable on the personnel side of the ball. And I'll hang up and listen.
Tausch, your rebuttal.
I can't get into, you know, when you start looking at Rashawn Gary, Lucas Van Ness, Jair, obviously Jair's injury, and he hasn't been the same player since he got paid. Rashawn Gary has not done what we expected when he got paid. There's a lot of points that he just brought up that are valid. Is this defense markedly better than last year's? I would say it's better because Xavier McKinney's on it.
Yeah.
And by the way, you can't say one thing without the other. Brian Gutekunst brought in Xavier McKinney. He didn't draft him, but he's on the team. And so it's a comprehensive deal. Have the first round picks that Brian Gutekunst has brought in lived up to the billing? I can't sit here and say yes. Nope. And that's coming from somebody that thinks Brian Gutekunst has done a really good job. I can't.
Tausch, tell us about Johnson & Sons Paving before we kick off the 11 o'clock hour.
Get ready for spring and do it now. Call Johnson & Sons Paving to make sure no pavement hazards get worse over the winter. Potholes and cracked curbs, drainage issues. If things are bad now, call Johnson & Sons Paving to get it fixed today. Schedule a free, no-obligation quote. Get a walkthrough of your pavement. They'll be able to see signs of asphalt pavement work that is needed by spotting that fatigue, cracking, standing water, warping, buckling, sinking pavement, and more. Don't scare away customers or tenants with bad curb appeal. Book now and save money later. JohnsonSonsPaving.com.
More of your calls in the 11 o'clock hour, which starts in 2 minutes, so make sure you stick around and stay on hold. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.